Good evening. Shall we start our meeting? I have the minutes in front of me. Am I authorised to sign them?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, as published.
Thank you. I'm signing this one. Right, first item on the agenda.
It's apologies first.
Oh, sorry. Apologies. Have we got any?
So, Councillor Barron substituted by Councillor McEwen. Councillor Godfrey put his apologies in because his name is on the first report.
All right.
Councillor Leeson.
Councillor Leeson. Thank you. Public question time?
None at all.
None at all. Council session? None at all. No called-in items. No. Members' items. None whatsoever. So, we come to those wonderful people from Climate Change Strategy and Progress. Good evening.
But she's now working, I'm very pleased to say she's working for me. We're just here really to update on the work that we're doing around the climate change strategy. You may remember, I think I probably came last year to talk about the climate change strategy and our action plans for last year. We're now through that period, obviously, and Marty is going to present an update on that and also our some information around the work that we're doing over the next 12 months. Thank you.
Just pop down there because I've got my laptop. So. Jackie reminds me I need to tell it close up. So we get going. Okay, climate change strategy.
Rather than getting a crick in my neck, is it all right if I read your report?
We should have got you a swivel. As Gabrielle mentioned, we created the climate change strategy, the first strategy, joint council strategy that was leading. To do this, we have the Staffordborough Council's corporate priorities, as you can see on the screen there, that take us through to 2028. So these are the priorities that were agreed in our corporate plan. The third one being climate change, nature recovery and the environment. So we wanted to write a strategy based around the corporate priorities to make sure that we could cover off as much as possible as what has been agreed. And you'll see as we go through the plans that have been forwarded to you, the different things we've done. We've aimed at this strategy to address all of the corporate priorities. So what we did is, because climate change and sustainability cuts across all service areas, and indeed in our corporate plans, it clearly says that climate change should be considered in whatever we do, whether that's procurement, regeneration work. We decided that we needed five pillars to work under, rather than having a very broad-based strategy. So the five pillars being corporate assets, so what can we do about making ourselves and the buildings that we own as a local authority more sustainable. So we built that into the programme to make sure that we're doing the best that we can actually to look at reducing our own emissions, but also improving things for the future. We wanted to look at transport as well, so what can we do about our fleets? Can we have more electric vehicles in place? Are we making the most of our fleet operations to make sure that we're not wasting journeys and wasting fuel so that becomes a lot more sustainable? Community engagement. So recently we've done a lot of work with Support Staffordshire, Staffordshire Wildlife Trust, lots of the schools about engaging our communities, providing them with advice and support. Business engagement, encouraging all our businesses. So that's my background from people that I know within this room. So I had 7 years in economic development supporting businesses across Stafford, of which there are now 6,500 SMEs. All of those businesses we know at the moment are suffering with high national insurance, increased minimum wage, high energy costs. So the big part of the strategy is to make sure that we're working with those businesses to make sure that we don't lose any in the borough, that they remain sustainable. So lots and lots of business support. And sustainability education, so we're doing a lot of work with the colleges. We're starting at a grassroots level, which you would have seen with the Be Friendly programme. The Eco Schools programme is running at the moment. So this is working right down with the tiny tots right the way through. On Wednesday we attended Perkins Engine, who have a schools programme there just for the day. So all of the youngsters there are invited to come along from all the schools and present at this Perkins Engine Eco-Friendly Day ideas around sustainability, ideas around what they can do in terms of supporting within their own network, the schools and their families they're in, to become more sustainable, and also to engage them so that they can understand a little bit more about what the supply chain is, where their food comes from, why plastics need to be recycled, all sorts of things. So that was a really good day at Perkins. We were invited there on the judging panel to look at all the awards, and awards have been made to the youngsters. So lots around sustainability education. What I've done here, if it's okay, Chair, I just wanted to show a very brief video, if that's okay.
Yeah, please.
So I mentioned about corporate assets and what we can do at the Borough Council to demonstrate to our residents and our businesses that we are taking this seriously, and that we are not just shouting about it and encouraging other people to do it, but we're actually doing some tangible things ourselves. So hopefully, and Jeff, we've been messing around with the sound, haven't we? So this will show a bit about Riverway Nursery.
So I'm here at Riverway, and this is the main depot for Street Scene, and we're part of the Borough Council. We're an important part of the council. We're the front line. We're out there doing the street cleansing, the grounds maintenance. There's pest control. We store plants here that we then bed out in the summer, which all the residents will see around the town. So that obviously brings a lot of pleasure to the local community. So working closely with the climate team here at the Borough Council, we feel we're really making a positive difference to the residents of the borough. Obviously, we hold the public's purse, so we've got to make sure that we are giving good value to the general public. We have got a lot of areas out there now that we manage differently. As you can see behind me, we've got a solar farm. It produces enough energy to actually sustain our site. We've got quite a fleet of vehicles that we run from here. We've probably got the biggest fleet in the council. So we have a real responsibility from that perspective. We started an anti-idling campaign, and we've reduced the CO2 that we produce from our vehicles by nearly 50%. We've renewed a lot of our fleet. So we are purchasing some electric vehicles now, and we're having EV infrastructure put in as we speak. We grow our own plants on site. After we crunched the figures, it actually turned out we could buy them in cheaper than actually growing them on ourselves from our plug, which meant we no longer needed the gas, we were using less water on the site, so it became a real positive for us. But regarding the plants, what we've looked at, and we work a lot with our climate officer at the council, but also with the portfolio holder, and we've actually increased the pollinator-friendly plants that we put out in the flower bed, etc., by 75%. Within the last couple of years. So we're really trying our best to make a positive difference, and we really want the good news that we're doing to be able to sort of reach out to the rest of the council and appease the public that we are out there doing our job, but also that we are benefiting nature as well, and hopefully make this site a lot more sustainable than it was previously.
So that was one of the examples there of the plans that were delivered. So Jackie very kindly circulated these, not the green ones because this is 26-27. But the other sheet here, these are the 25-26 plans that were delivered. So one of those examples there, Riverway, was included in the corporate assets and the housing. So you can see there, from the five pillars that I mentioned, just the areas that we're focusing on, in 25-26, so up until March recently, those were all the action plans in this document that were delivered. All of them were complete apart from two, very genuine reasons for that. So corporate assets and housing. The incompletion there is that we put in 85% LED lighting, so just 15% off target for LED lighting across our properties. But that will roll over to this year. And the waste is acquiring the vehicle, which is going to be in this year, although we talked about it last year. So all the plans mentioned and highlighted there are all in the document here, and it lists exactly what we've done, who we did it with, and who's benefited from those particular action plans. And these were all created in conjunction with heads of service and the service managers. We didn't just sort of pluck these plans out of the air. We went to every head of service, we went to every service manager and said, help us with this strategy. What are the sort of things that we're doing within the organisation that we can highlight and report on? So these plans are reported to our Climate Action Board quarterly, and then they go on to scrutiny and board cabinets. So that's 25-26. Looking ahead, which is the green one here, these are the 26-27 plans. So we finished off 25-26 with some plans that were all rolling over, which will be included in here. We've also uncovered some new plans for 26-27. So again, meetings with heads of service and meetings with service managers and also partners. So we were talking to the Chamber of Commerce, we were talking to Support Staffordshire, we were talking to Staffordshire Wildlife Trust, all sorts of partners to help us deliver this strategy and working with them on these particular action plans to make sure that they are deliverable. They're not sort of pie in the sky, wishy plans that can't be reported on. We have a duty to report these plans quarterly to the Climate Action Board and to scrutiny and your cabinet. So those plans are all listed in the green copies that you've got. Early doors yet, so we're only June, so the first reporting isn't until July, and then we'll be updating the board on how far we are with these plans. Some of these plans won't probably finish until about Q4, but we keep our eye on them, and each quarter we track to make sure that we need to make any adjustments, are there any barriers to us not being able to deliver these plans. What is new for 26-27 is that the catch-all plans, which you won't have on this document. So we found that we were doing a lot of the action plans and reporting on them. But as a team and as a council, we were doing an awful lot of other things that we weren't actually reporting on. So we wanted to log some of those plans. Some of the things that we're doing this year and from last year as well that aren't in the reports that you see. Things like Staffordshire Taxi Decarbonisation, that's the licensing after 2028, I think. It's licensing, I'm not sure, maybe for petrol and even diesel. Staffordshire Council has a climate change community panel. They do an awful lot of work and they meet here once a quarter. So they put on a lot of events and this year they'll continue to do that. So last year they put on a sustainable clothing event at the old TK Maxx building. In the town centre they put on the Green Spring Fair. So that community panel are made up of probably about 12 or 15 individuals who are all doing something around sustainability and supporting the environment. Green Skills, we're working very closely with Newcastle and Stafford College Group and the Institute of Technology. So the West Midlands at the moment is a hot spot for green skills. So we're talking to the college about the courses that they're putting on to enable our businesses to hire people to deliver green skills. So that's things like sustainable procurement, technology, waste management, all governance about reporting on what businesses do and can and can't do legally. So the big piece of work we're doing at the moment with the college about making sure that the education for people in this area fits the skills of the future, and we're not training people up for jobs that don't exist, but we've got a good pipeline of skilled apprentices. We invited at Keele University, so talking about education, they have a sustainability consultancy degree course, so we were invited to meet the students who were on that course. And they wanted to hear from the local authority how does sustainability fit within local government. And I'm really pleased with the results of what they've sent back from each of those students. They analysed our strategy, they came up with new ideas that we hadn't thought of from an individual's point of view. So again, that's working very closely with the students. I won't go through everything. We're doing things like making sure that when we're demolishing buildings that the waste is recycled or disposed of sustainable wise. So that's working with the Econ Dev team and corporate assets. The college last week, I think it was, showed the People's Emergency Briefing. This is a film that's not available online anywhere and it's not been shown on the BBC. So this was a film to basically talk about, from experts, not politicians but experts in the field around what is happening in the world today in terms of climate change. 100 people from the borough turned up to that film showing, which we were really, really pleased about. And that's triggered an awful lot of inquiries coming into my inbox from businesses, from community groups saying, how can we be involved to create a more sustainable environment in the borough? And there's some other things we get involved with there. So we have some input into the town centre master planning to make sure when we're master planning, we're considering climate change throughout that. The sustainability of buildings, whether they're achieving sort of a BREEAM standard, what are we doing about flood risks, or all sorts of things. And we're also engaging with the New Yorkshire Plan team. We also sit at the Chamber of Commerce, Energy and Environment Forum as well. So these are things that we're doing that you won't see in those action plans because we don't report on them quarterly. It's just something that we manage in our team to make sure that we're delivering. Communication, so as you can imagine, this is a new strategy. We had some UK Shared Prosperity funding that we used for this, so it hasn't cost the council anything for us to be able to create these films, new web pages. We've got leaflets ready to go out. We've got more videos being made. We've got case studies. So all of these comms have all been funded by the Shared Prosperity Fund, and we're ready to go out and tell our story. The call to action with any marketing activity, you always need a call to action. There's no point just spending money on marketing if you're not asking for anything in return. So throughout all this, we're asking our residents, our community groups and our businesses to share their stories with us so that we can help promote exactly what's going on. There's lots and lots of nuggets of really good stuff happening in the borough that we're not aware of unless people tell us about it. On that note, share your stories with us. And filming. If it's okay with you, Chair, I've got just one more video to show, if that's alright. This is just an example of the one of the films that we've had created. Again, it was funded from SBF. This is about Stafford Leisure Centre. So I was in a meeting last week with Visit Britain, and we were talking about sustainable tourism, and they call it regenerative tourism now. It's not sustainability, it's regenerative. And they have got lots and lots of facts and figures which we're going to share with our tourism and leisure operators. They've really surveyed a lot of people, and I was amazed that 78% of international travellers to England want a more sustainable experience, and they will pay extra for that. So they want to be able to go to venues, hospitality venues, whether it's a pub, whether it's a wedding venue, whether it's a gym, and know that that business has adopted sustainable initiatives. So instead of seeing these fiddly plastic cups that are then wrapped in plastic that you get in hotels' rooms, they're looking for things where they don't have one single-use practice. They're looking to attend venues where maybe they're using solar panels to create energy. They're looking to go to venues where maybe rainwater is being recycled to wash sheets, all sorts of things. So I was amazed that it was that high. And we've got a duty, I think, with the Tourism, Hospitality and Leisure Centre, particularly in Stafford, because they're big business ratepayers, they employ a huge amount of people, and they're the ones that are hardest hit at the moment in terms of energy costs. So this film here just explains a little bit how, okay, it's Stafford Leisure Centre, it's one of ours, but at least it gives us an idea of what can be done, and we want to share this with other leisure providers across the borough.
At the Leisure Centre, we have taken a positive approach to environmental challenges that the organisation has been facing. Freedom Leisure and Stafford Borough Council remain a close working partnership to ensure that we remain sustainable and viable for the long-term future, to ensure that we are meeting the health and well-being needs of the local community. Some of those projects that we have ran with in the last 12 months are solar PV installs to the swimming pool rooftop, which has installed 184 kilowatts of solar PV. A huge difference to our electricity consumption, and we've also installed some air-powered eco showers in our swimming pool facilities as well. So in terms of the key outcomes in the project, we have reduced our CO2 footprint by 35 tonnes per annum just for the PV alone. We've reduced our electricity consumption by 140,000 kilowatts, and that's equated in a financial saving of around £35,000. In addition to that, with the Kelvin shower installs, we have also reduced our CO2 footprint as well by installing the 21 air-powered eco showers. We have reduced our water consumption by nearly 4 million litres per annum, and our kilowatt consumption of gas by 140,000 kilowatts as well. This has resulted in £15,000 saved. Through the challenges that the sector has faced, there has been an awful lot of closures and strain on the rate sector, and with the installation of solar PV, making us far more efficient, cost effective, and running our plant, it makes us far more sustainable as an organisation, as a centre, and ensures that we can remain open to the public.
Yeah, there's so much to it. We've been fiddling with the televisions, haven't we, Jackie? So that was an example there of somebody in the leisure industry that's actually looked at the way they're operating. They need to save money, they need to be more sustainable. We have another film that's just been produced at the moment for Stafford Town Centre businesses, and within that there is a spa in Stafford that has huge amounts of energy costs for heating their spa pool, and their story is really interesting about how they've installed a heat pump and reduce their costs by 50%, so that will be uploading. So on our webpage is the Sustainable Success Stories. The videos and the case studies are all listed on there, and we send out a regular newsletter to point people in that direction. So you can see there's quite a lot of hospitality on there, so Aston Marina, obviously we know what's going on there, that they've installed solar, and they've switched from a gas kitchen to all electric. The Little George in Eccleshaw, we were working with them about installing EV charging points to attract more visitors into Eccleshaw Town Centre. I don't think there's a garage in Eccleshaw, so you know, EV charging points was something that the Little George wanted to introduce to help the town centre out. The Wimpy, again, they've changed all their refrigeration, the way that they use oil in their cooking, and so on and so on. Even down to Love's Funerals, again, they'll be part of the new video showing that they've got a brand new energy efficient refrigeration system installed that saved a huge amount of money, which then they can pass on the costs to reduce the costs of funerals. So lots and lots of good news stories going on. I'm really proud when I go to these meetings to be able to say that, you know, I'm a representative of Stafford Council, so when I go to the district meetings, the climate change officers group meetings and the sustainability meetings, to be able to say that we're doing something and we've got the proof, we've got the evidence. Not only with the local authorities, but you know, if we attend national conferences, and there's quite a few coming up at the moment, but you know, we're able to go and actually talk at these conferences and these seminars and say, you know, look what we're doing, and here are the results. We haven't just written a strategy and put it in a drawer. We've written a strategy and we're actually developing against it. That's it from me, Chair. I should stop talking now because I'll talk forever otherwise. Shall I move to you, Gabrielle?
No, please can sit back down in case there's any very difficult questions.
Okay.
Well, very encouraging. And I was just thinking, I hope I can remember all of this. So when my wife says to me, well, what Stafford Council actually doing? I can remember a bit of it. And she'll be very impressed.
Thank you.
Mostly by me remembering something, I think. But there you go. Excellent. Anybody? Any comments? Any questions?
A question that you might not necessarily be able to answer on my mind. So we've obviously declared a climate emergency and then committed the council to getting to net zero by a point in time. It's really good to see the individual things we're doing, because I think if we just say we want to hit net zero, that becomes very nebulous, doesn't it? So we're looking at those specific ways, particularly within our corporate assets and within the activities of the council, that we're achieving that. Is there a way in your measurements that you're able to track progress towards that net zero figure, and how is that going to be presented to us in kind of part of the reporting scrutiny?
So obviously every year we do look at the figures for our carbon footprint, and we're currently in the process, I believe, Jake's currently preparing the carbon audits for the councils, and we will then present those. So we have to take them, we'll bring them through the cabinet process, and obviously then we'll share them with you. I think we're really interested to see what the reduction is. In an ideal world, wouldn't it be fantastic if we could track every single thing? But I think it's quite complicated and time consuming, and actually if we, you know, we will get to the point for last year's activities and we'll see. I mean, one of the reasons why we've got the five pillars is to absolutely target our interventions where they're going to have the biggest impact on our footprint. And that's why, you know, certainly, as you say, corporate assets and not transport, that they're where we can have the biggest impact. So yes, hopefully. you'll be waiting with beta breath and we will be able to share those things with you.
Sure. October's the latest date for we have to submit them to government, so they'll come to cabinet probably in September, and then they'll be uploaded onto the website in October.
Thank you. Thank you. No more questions? Thank you very much for the super presentation, actually. Very interesting. So,
item B.
Item B, yeah. 7B, Business Planning Report, Head of Law and Governance. Have you got any videos to show us then?
I have no videos tonight, I'm afraid.
Oh dear.
Follow that. So this is the annual report to council. It's reflective of the previous year, the work that scrutiny have done. It's good practice for councillors to report all scrutiny activity to full council to keep all members aware of what's been going on and to raise the profile of scrutiny. So this report, similar to last year, it's the one report outlining all the scrutiny activity across the council. There's the similarities between each committee in that they do performance reporting and sort of work that they all do, but also there's a section for each separate committee which really just summarises briefly the particular work that that committee did over the last year. So the resources in 5.8 to 5.12 just list the budget consultation, constitutional review, task and finish work that we did last year, revenues and benefits, corporate complaints, and performance reporting. As I say, it's a report of what's been done already, and the intention is it will go to council in July.
Everybody seems very happy.
Very good.
Anyone, any questions?
Audit and accounts aren't mentioned.
They're not a scrutiny committee, are they?
Say again?
They're not a scrutiny committee, audit and accounts are the statutory committee. I don't think they'll be on this.
Yeah, we are important, but we're not a scrutiny committee.
Very important.
Well, thank you, Ian. Silenced everybody. Yeah, but unfortunately, it brings us on to complaint monitoring.
Just before we start off this one, on page 7, item 5.17. Members agreed that a letter should be sent to the local MP requesting that water authorities and IDBs should become statutory consultees in planning applications. Did that letter go via the MP or should be sent to the MP?
I don't know, that's under economic level planning. So this report has been sent to all the chairmen in advance of the committee meeting, so I'll pick it up and make sure they're aware of that.
Thank you, Brendan. Any other questions?
Next one down, 5.18. Oh. Sorry. Members requested that officers set up a refresher biodiversity net gain workshop. I think most members of the planning committee go quite vague when we talk about plus 10% biodiversity net gain, because we haven't got a Scooby really about how you do it or how it's measured or whatever. So I think the idea of a workshop, even if it's very, very basic, would be helpful. Sorry. Again, that's not this group.
Fine then, moving on.
Mr. Chairman, the report be noted and recommended for submission to council.
Any seconds, please? All in favour? Thank you. So that takes us on to item 7D, quarter four,
7C.
Sorry, 7C, complaint monitoring.
Thank you, Chair. Again, annual report, we bring to scrutiny each year. Following on from last year, we amended the report to reflect the local government ombudsman's complaint handling code and the sort of information which they expect us to collect. So centrally, we do collect data on the number of complaints received in each department and the response times, and we also review the detail that goes to the local government ombudsman. So that's reflected in the report. You'll see at 5.1.3, there's a breakdown of stage one complaints, and at 5.1.4, a breakdown of stage two complaints, and we compare the figures this year, or last year, with the year before. So in the last municipal year, we had 65 stage one complaints compared to 19 in the previous year, and stage two, again, it was 30 complaints compared to 8 in the previous year. Now, that tends to be an increase we received in the area of planning and development. So having a look at the type that made it stage two, it was confirmed that the vast majority of those complaints were seeking to challenge the decision itself rather than a complaint about the service provided by the council. Half of those complaints were actually submitted by one objector to a particular development. So it did skew the figures somewhat. However, I've got to point out that a number of complaints raised issues with delays in response times and the quality of communications received by the complainant. Because of the numbers, I did seek a further explanation from development, and that's been put in the report. So they do explain that planning service received a large amount of applications over a long period, which led to backlogs in multiple areas. And there were changes, meaning a number of major speculative applications which the council received, which did frustrate the community and our response to the planning applications. It is pointed out that the planning team have been undertaking an improvement plan, which was previously reported to scrutiny and cabinet, and working on that. So it's not completely unexpected that the figures from last year complaints do reflect that improvement which we knew the planning service needed to undertake. So we're hoping that that will reflect in when we report on this year's complaints.
Have you seen, Brendan, any impact from the work that's been done to try and reduce those levels of complaints?
I've been aware of delays in validation on quite a number of applications. The applicant and the agent pretty frustrated. One I can cite from Hickson Parish Council is an application for a change of use, which was in the system 14 weeks before it was validated. And the only reason why it wasn't validated is because one of the plans didn't have a scale bar on or the north point. And it just so felt to me that those are such minor things that could have been dealt with once it had been validated. Yeah, that may be a tip of an iceberg, or it might be the whole of the iceberg, but there's definitely an issue.
Well, it's the sort of minor thing that upsets people.
Yeah.
And if we've got the right controls in place, it's easy to spot and easy to actually give a much better impression of the services we give. So it does make complaints actually a positive thing sometimes, and it spots things that we perhaps are missing. Sorry.
Just when you kind of spoke to the planning team about some of those issues with complaints, was there the sense that because there had been some delays as part of the improvement plan to the system, that people were resorting to the complaint system because they weren't getting responses, as opposed to, so for example, there's one objective for development, now clearly however fast you process the planning application, you're still going to have people who object to a development putting in a complaint on you because they're not necessarily aware that the system's in place and the comment system. Was there a sense that some of them have been, that actually people were just very annoyed that they weren't getting responses and that that was actually forming quite a number of the complaints?
I didn't look through all stage one, and it's something we need to look at is getting that intelligence back from the department itself centrally. Can't give you that information, but looking at the stage two complaints, getting a flavour, it was, yes, it was sometimes the delay in response and lack of response that people highlighted, as well as challenging the decision. So that's something that obviously the department is aware of and is looking to address. Going on from the detail of the complaints, just noting the response times that the Ombudsman Complaint Handling Code wants us to look at. In the average days to acknowledge stage one, we were slightly over the 5 working days, but actually we're under the, on average, the time to respond in detail to the complaint. And at stage two, a similar pattern, slightly above the 5 working days in actually acknowledging the complaint, but we had on average responded in detail to stage two within the 20 working days. And looking at local government ombudsman complaints, matters that were resolved by our own complaints process and were actually escalated to local government ombudsman, the number this year, or the number last year, compares the same to the previous year. There were 5 complaints escalated to the ombudsman, and no findings of fault on the council on that occasion.
Yeah.
Do we know how that compares to other local authorities in terms of our response time? And what kind of prevents us acknowledging within the time, but obviously we're then quite good at responding and making sure that we're doing that well within the statutory recommendations. Do we know what kind of drives the initial acknowledgement being over and how we can talk to the council on that?
My answer is no.
Okay.
But I'll look at our data and see if there's a way of drawing that out.
I guess from my perspective, if I'm making a complaint, I'd be more perturbed if it took longer to be initially acknowledged than I would with the resolution. So if I put in a complaint, I'd want it to be acknowledged quickly, even if it takes me a few days longer to get a resolution, potentially. I'm just thinking about kind of from a public facing perspective, it'd be interesting to know if we're comparable.
Let's see if we can draw it out.
Can I write you a letter on the fact I've still not got a food waste bin? I have raised the issue twice with our own refuse collection, and once via the Staffordshire ground to the county's person, all of whom have said we'll get back to you, and none of whom have. So I'm still putting my food waste in the green bin, apart from during the week when the maggots got so bad in the green bin that I had to triple bean it and take it round to the dip on Sunday, which was a great way to spend Sunday.
Is there not a form?
Sorry?
Is there not a form on the website? So when we lost our recycling bag, we
I've just
within
been
5 working days we received a new one just on our doorstep.
Yeah, I've not managed to get a form yet. I've just been reporting verbally. But now I've raised the issue a bit more, I'll perhaps receive a form and fill that in. So, yes, it wasn't a too happy a job I had. heaving a bag full of maggots into the bin down in Stafford Binstone waste recycling station.
Report be noted, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Which, and thank you, Ian, for your report. So that takes us on, I think, to quarter four and end of year performance report.
When I've just had a quick look at the one that was has just got a tick, arguably that could have had a star as being completed because it was only about commissioning the work. And they've had the report, they're just doing some final checks, so I think you can pretty much take that as all having been completed from the climate change action plan. In terms of the next one, which is the actions for the effective council, we've got three that have been fully completed, we've got some slippage on another three, and one that's not applicable. So in terms of the slippage, two of those relate to the same related piece of work, and that's a project we've got around looking to enhance our online form offer. And we were a little bit delayed in getting out there to talk to managers to see how we wanted to develop that. So we'll now see that roll through into 26-27. And then the other one that had slipped was the consultation engagement. And as there's a note in the report, it's not to say that we haven't done any consultation and engagement. That has continued to take place throughout the year, as it always does. What we weren't able to achieve this year was actually trying to put a plan in place at the beginning of the year to set out what we were going to do. We're going to have another attempt at that this year, partly because we've got a piece of work in progress at the moment looking at our work plan for the next couple of years. So we're hoping to be able to identify and put that up as a proactive one rather than a reactive one throughout the year. So that's the thoughts in terms of the projects that are in the priority delivery plans. In terms of key performance indicators, as at the end of the year, there were seven indicators for the effective council. Five of those actually have exceeded target, and there are two which are just fractionally under the target, and they were regarding the council tax and the business rates collection, and they're just a smidgen underneath. They're pretty much about as expected. We know that nationally there are some trends with some dips in that. And as you'll see on the business rate front, in actual fact, once we get to the point where one particular property is taken off the list, we will be even closer to the target. So, and I think it's fair to say, I know if the revenues and benefits manager really want me to point out that we will continue to make every effort to collect any outstanding council tax and business rates into the next year.
Thank you, Judith. Have we any questions for Judith?
Is this where we're going to get the verbal update on LGR, or is that after?
I'm sorry?
We had a verbal update on LGR put in the agenda. Is that when we're going to get this, or is this going to be after? Because there's a little section on LGR in the priorities, so the local government reorganisation. But in the agenda that was sent, it said there was going to be a verbal update on LGR. Is that in this section, or is it after?
It's a separate agenda item. It's agenda item E, which is the next one. I don't think I've missed anything in that. But it's still with you, is it, Judith?
It is, yes.
And it's a verbal update.
It is. It's partly because there isn't a lot to say. We're still waiting on the bigger decision. So until somebody tells us otherwise, we're still awaiting a decision on what the formal unitary status will be for Staffordshire, and we're still expecting that by the 16th of July. We had hoped to have heard by now on a decision around foundation strategic authorities. We put our submission in on that some time ago. We were expecting that at least a month ago, and we've heard nothing on that.
So that's kind of this side of things at national level that we haven't heard about. At the local level, we have got work going on behind the scenes. We're working across the county with all of the councils, including the county and Stoke-on-Trent, all the districts and boroughs, and we've got some different work streams going on. Really just about collecting data at the moment. We're very mindful there's not a lot we can do until we get a decision, but there's an awful lot of data that we all hold. So we're starting to collate all of that. So there are, I think it's 7 work streams that we've got on the go for that. So we've got 1 for communications and engagement, 1 looking at the human resources side of things, 1 on assets and property, technology 1, finance 1, governance and legal and procurement and contracts. So we've collated all of our contracts that we've all got, information on the organisational structures, looking at the budgets and the reserves, that type of thing. So we're collating it all so that we'll be ready when we've got a decision to start to be able to move forward with all of that. And last but not least, we were asked to submit some responses to some high-level questions a few weeks ago that's all to do with the interim arrangements around a joint committee that will oversee the implementation of local government organisation and Staffordshire. So we've submitted our response to that. But so we just now start waiting for the decision. But not literally start waiting, we are trying to do what we can, but it will be much easier when we know what's happening.
So just through. So when are we going to get that decision, did you say?
It's expected before the summer recess, so by the 16th of July, we should know what is happening in Staffordshire.
And is this going to be affected by the resignation of the current Prime Minister?
We don't know at the moment.
I think there might be a fair chance it will be.
Correct.
But I think all we can do is wait and see.
I think there's been various rumours along the way because some of the other councils have already had their announcements of mounted challenges. But as they said, there's been some speculation, but it is just speculation. We've not heard anything official to suggest that it will be delayed, and the fact that we only submitted responses to these questions literally just over a week ago would indicate that somebody's still on the path, but as they say, whether that gets stopped before the recess, we don't know.
Thank you, Judith. Any further questions for Judith? No, thank you very much. We are back then with you, Ian. Work programme.
So this is a standing item on all your agendas to discuss the upcoming work programme. See, because this is the first one of this next municipal year, we're programmed in what we know so far for the meetings coming up in the next year, so that's it in the appendix. So you've got your usual ones that are important for this, such as the budget consultation, constitution review, but also one of the big things for the organisation, as we just discussed, is probably local government reorganisation. So that's been put in there as probably an item that this scrutiny will want to have updates or look at a bit further as it goes along. So that's what we know so far, and open this item up for members for discussion about what you see coming up.
Have we got any items that we'd like to slip into the work programme that we've not got there? Well, there's going to be a lot of work to do in it when we get there. Right, well, thank you then, Ian. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I think that brings us to the end, Jackie. Next meeting is all in the programme.
Yes. It's about 22nd of September.
Thank you very much.